Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the best of the DA Show.
Now, I mentioned this Russell Wilson story. Ho, mama. Because yesterday, The Athletic published a piece that went inside what specifically the issues are and the timeline between Russell Wilson and his frustration with the organization, and perhaps vice versa as well. So I want to give you my thoughts having read through this article last night. What the article, what the piece publishes in details is that Russell Wilson was going through a frustrating time last year when the Seahawks offense had stagnated and Russell Wilson and the Seahawks had lost two games in a row. And in those two games, Wilson had accounted for 7 turnovers. Pete Carroll hammers home, don't turn the football over. Accountability, save possessions. If we give it away, we will lose. And Pete Carroll is there looking at Russell Wilson asking, you know you can't turn the football over. Why would you do that? Why would you make those types of decisions? Why would you be so sloppy with the football 7 times in 2 games? You know what we work on. This is where Russell Wilson wanted more say in the offense. Let us open it up. Let me take chances. And this is the break point where Pete Carroll says, you're taking chances and you're blowing the chances and losing games for us. And this is supposedly the fork in the road for these two parties. That over the years, Russell Wilson has been consumed by leaving a legacy. He's been consumed by being considered one of the greats. He compares himself and wants to be in the company constantly of Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Drew Brees. And so now the urgency is continuing to ratchet up about him not getting back even to an NFC Championship game since 2014. And the Seahawks, led by Pete Carroll's thinking, are not about taking a ton of chances. They want to run the football to set up the pass. And they don't want the quarterback to be taking tons of chances downfield. The way the Seahawks have looked at it is that they have supported Russell Wilson quite a bit, even if they have not drafted and developed a great offensive line earlier in his career. They have felt as though they've paid him a ton of money. They've ultimately put the franchise in his hands, and he needs to be able to follow suit with playing responsible football. So the truth, as always, lies somewhere in between. And reading through the piece gave me a couple of thoughts that cemented many of my previous thoughts, but gave me some new ones as well. So does Seattle, if Russell Wilson is going public about how he wants more say, how he wants to be sacked less, how he is apparently with his agent addressed 4 specific teams that if he gets traded to are his preferred destinations. Are we at the point where this thing is broken in Seattle and the Seahawks have to trade Russ? It is where we begin. Cold open.
As of right now, it does not seem realistic. It seems more like a rift, something that's very real, a relationship that absolutely has to be repaired between the Seahawks brass and Russell Wilson. But as far as a trade, is Seattle a team that is really ready to contend, able to deal with a $40 million cap hit for trading Russell Wilson? And Pete Carroll is 70 years old. Is he really going to rebuild unless there's some sort of replacement for Russell Wilson? That's why this seems a little far-fetched. That being said, teams are calling. From what I understand, more than 10 teams have called Seattle about Russell Wilson. There hasn't been much engagement. It's not like Seattle has been weighing offers, but at least teams are still calling. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson has not requested a trade, but has made it known that if someone wanted to trade for him, there are only a couple places he would go, including Chicago, who needs a quarterback, and the Saints, who need a quarterback.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That audio is courtesy of Ian Rappaport and NFL Network. Those four teams, you heard him mention the Saints, no Drew Brees, the Chicago Bears, the Raiders, and the Cowboys. So as Rapp just mentioned there, just because 10 teams have reached out to Seattle about trading for Russell Wilson doesn't mean there's a trade imminent. And I don't think this thing is broken, okay, beyond repair. I think what ends up happening here is that Russell Wilson is consumed with his image and consumed with a legacy and consumed with getting those MVP awards and Super Bowls, and that's fine, but it has led to me, to Russell Wilson, it seems, having an inflated sense of what he can be and what he can do and how he's going to get there. Here's what I mean. Is Russell Wilson great? Obviously, he's great. Obviously, he's one of the top quarterbacks of the NFL. However, he wants an offense like Patrick Mahomes runs in Kansas City. Or he wants full control over the roster like Brady has in Tampa Bay. And the fact is, he hasn't earned either one of those types of benefits. He's not Patrick Mahomes. I'm sorry. Russell Wilson's greatest abilities are very obviously tied to him, when a play breaks down, being able to work on the run, improvise, and create big plays. And yes, his deep throw is a thing of beauty as well. But in terms of being able to completely control the chessboard of the NFL's defenses, Russ does not have that short to intermediary passing thing down the way that Patrick Mahomes does. Mahomes is already an MVP and a Super Bowl MVP in his first 3 years in the NFL as a starter and has gone to consecutive Super Bowls. You know, let's face it, when Russ did that, the strength of his team was absolutely the defense. That's not the case in Kansas City. Russ wasn't the MVP in 2013 or 2014. Also, control over the roster, Tom Brady's freaking Tom Brady. And even Brady didn't have that in New England. So Russell Wilson wants something that Tom Brady has had after winning 6 championships, 20 years of the NFL, and something that he couldn't attain with the Patriots, where he won all the championships. Again, this is, to me, it's immaterial for Russell Wilson to want these things. He's not there. Those situations aren't the same. Now, the flip side is, I think that Pete Carroll can be, he can be stubborn. And Pete Carroll's 70. He's done it a certain way his entire career, and I don't feel like he's that flexible these years at this point in his career. He knows what he likes, he knows what works for him, and he wants to keep to it. So let's make sure we still run the football. Let's make sure we don't turn the football over. Those are old tenets in the NFL. We know this, we've heard this for generations. So I do think there is a way that these two can come together, and it starts probably with the old guy who's got the wisdom coming to the young guy and saying, okay, let's work together here. What works for you in the offense? Here's what works for me. Let's be open-minded here. Let's work together to make a solution. But your best chance to win is right here. We win 10 to 12 games every single year. We have consistently been in the playoffs almost every year you've been here. We do spend money. We just traded for Jamal Adams. We just had Dwayne Brown a couple of seasons ago as a Pro Bowl offensive lineman come here. We've drafted DK Metcalf. We've let you throw deep the first half of the season. In fact, all of last season. You were an MVP front runner through 8 games last year. We're not far off here, Russ. Let's come together. Let's find a solution together instead of apart. And that's, I think there has to be a middle ground here. But Russell Wilson, to me, is becoming too emboldened with what he thinks they're not doing for him. I don't think that should be his conversation. Yeah, there's a way to come together. But Russ, you're not going to get something that it took Tom Brady 20 years to get. You're also not going to get something that doesn't behoove you. Let's face it, if you put Russell Wilson in the Chiefs offense, it's still not as good as what it is with Patrick Mahomes. They're different quarterbacks. Russ wants to throw 50 times a game. I got news for you. You don't have the weapons to do that in Seattle, and you're not a good enough quarterback to do that in Seattle. It's just the fact of the matter. Like, if Russ wants what Tom Brady has, Russ should also realize that Tom Brady had a great run game this year support him and a great defense support him. Brady wasn't throwing 50 times. The Super Bowl doesn't happen just because Tom Brady brings in A, B, and Gronk. The Super Bowl happens because Devin White and Levante David and Shaq Barrett are terrors. It happens because they already had Mike Evans, they already had Chris Godwin, and they had Donald Jones and brought in off a scrap heap Leonard Fournette. I mean, is Russ ignoring the fact that the Buccaneers' run game was a huge part of the success of them in the playoffs? Did that just go over his head? You know, the fact is, Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw 7 interceptions in 2 games. And if he did, Andy Reid would be PO'd. So I think there's an element of delusion in Russ. And I think Russ has wide eyes for celebrity and wide eyes for legacy and wide eyes for winning. And I think that sometimes throws him off the scent of what's real. And we oftentimes joke and clown about his sound bites here. Unlimited. Mr. Unlimited. And there is something that is kind of artificial and inflated about, I think, his sense of what reality is. The reality is, if you go somewhere else, like let's say you go to Chicago, you want to be traded to Chicago. Do you think that offense is better set up for you to win? They're going to let Allen Robinson walk, so where's their DK Metcalf? Do they run the football effectively to you? Do you see that with them? Do you see a play caller that's opening things up and has found a way to unlock their quarterbacks? Really? Like, he wants to go to Dallas. Okay, they got a lot of wide receivers. Do you really believe Mike McCarthy's offense is the key to you suddenly winning Super Bowls again? The Raiders. Again, what exactly are you seeing from a Raiders standpoint where you're like, that gives me a way better chance to win MVPs in Super Bowls? I just think that Russ gets delusional and the Seahawks get frustrated with this and Pete Carroll's a little stubborn and then they're not on the same page and it's not that far apart to get back to reality. Back to life, back to reality.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And remember that you can listen to the DA Show in podcast form. That's right. Listen to us whenever you want, wherever you want. It's DA On Demand. Simply go to your favorite podcast platform, search the DA Show. Find full episodes there or the very best of every single day, plus the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show. Just search the DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Well, it's a different season in Philadelphia, that's for sure. The 76ers went from underachievers and a lot of chemistry issues to the number one seed of the East last night, a 111-97 victory over the Dallas Mavericks. What's different this year versus last? Here's Ben Simmons.
I think just the chemistry, along with, you know, Doc's come in and you know, he's holding people accountable, which is huge. You know, every night guys are showing up. You know, we know what it takes to win that championship. You know, we have a lot of vets who've come in and just won, Danny and Dwight. And we want to win, man. We want to win. We're doing everything we can to win. You know, guys are making sacrifices. Guys are out there playing hard. So, you know, we know what we want to do.
Well, that's pretty clear. That audio courtesy of TNT. Pretty clear that the coach was a huge piece of this puzzle. And I think that sometimes the NBA, we overlook the impact of a coach because we've been told it's such a players' league for so long. But let's face it. Brett Brown did not have the respect that Doc Rivers does inside that locker room, and it happened for Doc immediately. Brett Brown was a pushover. Brett Brown was a guy that they would walk all over. Brett Brown was just not Doc Rivers from a personality standpoint nor an accomplishment standpoint. And when it came to fitting the pieces together, Brett Brown was there during the process. He was there when they drafted all of those guys. But he had never been a head coach of a winner, and he's also not a fiery personality. So those guys, I think, didn't have the right structure, accountability, and discipline to work together. Doc's been through it all. Doc's coached for a million years. Doc played at a high level in this league with a lot of crazy teammates as well. Doc also has a championship. Doc has coached great players. He's seen what it takes to get these guys to the same page. And then Daryl Morey coming in, making a few different changes to the chemistry, getting Al Horford out of there, bringing in a guy like Danny Green. Those help big time. And let's face it, what it's proven is the Sixers had the talent. The Sixers had the players. The Sixers just didn't have the right leadership, and a few tinkerings to the roster has made them the best team in the East. That was quick. Here is Bryce Harper. We have made fun of Bryce many times in the past because he has just bent over backwards to lather it on for Philly fans. It's been, you know, so forced at times. And here he is doing it again as he's talking about World Series as he enters spring training.
I hate being home for Halloween, I can tell you that. You know, I think... the town needs it. I mean, the city of Philadelphia, they deserve it. They need it. We're a team that can hopefully do that for them, that can give that to them. They deserve to be in the stands, you know, in October. And I know they're wanting to do that.
They deserve it. They need it. By my watch, the Phillies won a World Series a little over a decade ago. And deserve it. Need it. They just won a Super Bowl like 10 minutes ago. Need it. Deserve it. I think there's a couple of other teams that might need it or deserve it more. I'm thinking about like the Cleveland Indians. They haven't won a World Series since 1948. Talk about needing it and deserving it. How about the Padres have never won a World Series? Need it. Deserve it. Gotta have it. The Mariners haven't made the playoffs in 20 years. Have never won a World Series. Phillies need it. Deserve it. I mean, let's get real here. You know, the Pirates. They spend like 10 bucks on their roster every year. One of the oldest, most historic franchises and fan bases we have. Phillies need it. Deserve it. I mean... this started in spring training of his first year using the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's walk-up song, having the Philly fanatic on his cleats, wearing a gritty mascot t-shirt, serenading the fans at opening day in right field. He has tried everything, and you can tell the talking points. Okay, how do I go into the season and have people not mad at me because he's there for another, what, 11 years? As we said at the time, that's not going to age well. That contract, not going to age well. And finally, here's Frank Reich, who's excited about his former assistant coach, Nick Sirianni. Going to be smart, going to have strategy, going to be smart guys, not dumb guys. We like strategies around here as the new head coach in Philly.
I wish him the best of luck. I'm excited about the staff he's put together. I'm excited about the opportunity he has in front of him with a great organization there. So wish them nothing, Nick and the Eagles, nothing but the best of success.
We think they're going to be smart guys, not dumb guys. We're not sure, though. Nick Sirianni kind of sounded kind of dumb at his press conference. How about earlier in the week, Dan Dockich saying that he doesn't get where all this love, and Dockich is an Indianapolis sports talk host, he doesn't get all the love for Frank Reich. He's like, he's lost as many games as he's won around here. He's been responsible for losing a lot of games. He was part of the reason they lost in Buffalo in the wild card round. Wow. Not everybody loves Frank Reich as much as the national media seems to. I like him because he looks like Scott Bakula. Quantum Leap, Indianapolis. And that is your sound check. Can hit us up on the Twitter, DA on CBS, on this fine Friday. Mraz is back from his Florida sojourn. Mraz, welcome back.
Hello, how is everyone? You guys look great.
We're doing good. You got some sun, huh? You were at the beach. It was sunny weather down there for a couple of days.
Yeah, yeah. About 21 hours ago, I was taking a nice dip, swimming some laps in a pool, and now I'm here with a space heater again next to me. So things have changed real quick.
But you're still living that Florida life. Is that a Tampa Bay Vipers t-shirt I see?
It is, DA. And when you walk through an airport and you see the discount rack next to all the Bucks Super Bowl gear, and they have Tampa Bay Vipers gear, how do you not make that purchase?
At first, I thought that was an energy drink t-shirt.
Most of the XFL gear does look like that.
Fluorescent green and black and a big V. I'm thinking that's like Victory Aid.
Yeah, $6.99. Can't beat it. Best deal in the airport.
Is everybody all about the Bucks down there these days?
It is unbelievable. I drove basically from 2 hours south to an hour north of Tampa, and you can't go anywhere without trucks just waving Buck flags, hanging out of windows and buildings. The Bucks and Brady almost gave Tampa like a college feel, if you will. Mm. That's the way it felt. I've obviously traveled a lot, seen a lot of love for NFL teams. I mean, obsessive. It's too much. And what really makes me sick, people out of their houses flying flags that don't say Bucks, but actually like Brady jersey flags with the 12 Brady. Oof. It's gotten to be a bit much down there. It was too much.
Did you ask them where they were during the Dirk Cutter years?
I didn't. I let them have their moments. Okay. They could all wave their flags, enjoy their time, much like Bryce Harper. I mean, it's only been since 2002. Nobody deserves a Super Bowl quite like the Bucks.
Yeah, last year they were 7-9. Nobody even watched a Bucks game. This year they're waving flags. Yeah. They're all over the place. Yeah, and Tampa Bay.
Yeah, enough with the Tampa Bay. Those murals are everywhere, too. Newsflash, the Rays didn't win the World Series. We can stop including a Rosarino with his hands around Brady now.
Okay, so what about the Bolts? Any Lightning love down there? They're Stanley Cup champs.
Of course. The Lightning, Tampa is a very weird,
sneaky good hockey town.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the Buck stuff is very fresh, so obviously that was very overwhelming. But, of course, I mean, license plates with the Lightning logo on there, all the little tiki bars at, you know, the resorts I was at the last 2 days. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without it being like Lightning first, hockey being shown everywhere. So they love the Lightning. And also an odd amount of Tampa Bay Rays hats walking around. I thought nobody liked the Rays.
Okay.
And I got to talk to a couple locals. They seem to like the Rays down there. The problem, of course, is that they play in a dump and nobody wants to sit inside. So they'd rather sit outside by their pools and their beaches and watch the games outside and not be going into the trop.
Totally get that as well. Yeah, Tampa Bay is a sneaky, really good hockey town. For all of the Sun Belt expansion that the NHL did, Tampa Bay, it really took. They do a great job supporting the Lightning down there. Deshaun Watson met with David Culley this week. Okay, this is good. New head coach. Culley is known as a real even-keeled guy. Everybody respects him. He's not a hothead like Bill O'Brien. This is great. This could help squash some of the bad feelings. Can turn down the temperature in Houston. Deshaun Watson just may find some common ground. Culley's a grandfatherly-like figure. This is perfect. Culley even said with his opening press conference that he took the job because he intends Deshaun Watson to be a starting quarterback. And according to reports, didn't matter. Oh, man. So close. Apparently, Deshaun Watson told David Culley he's not suiting up for the Texans. So could anything save Deshaun in Houston? Not if Deshaun is officially broken And I think the only thing that can help this situation, and I don't even know if it would solve the situation, is to fire the problem. The problem is Jockey Jack, Jack the Quack, Jack Easterby. He is, all signs point to him being the issue. Is Cal McNair also part of the problem? Of course, because Cal McNair is entrusting Jack the Quack. But let's just follow the evidence here. Deshaun Watson last year signed an extension with the Houston Texans. And he saw Cal McNair taking over for his father as the owner. So it can't just be about Cal McNair. Maybe things have changed between Deshaun Watson's perception of Cal McNair from when he signed that extension, but he knew that Cal McNair was going to be the acting owner. He knew that. So what changed? Here's the evidence. Since Deshaun Watson signed his extension, Jack the Quack has been elevated to the number one advisor to Cal McNair and is ostensibly running the franchise. That's the fact, Jack. The fact is, Jack Easterby has elevated himself multiple times. And when they needed to hire a GM and a head coach, they ignored, I say they being Cal McNair, the Texans ignored the input of Deshaun Watson, the input of Jamie Roots, the team president, ignored the input of the search firm, and under cover of darkness, when Deshaun Watson was on vacation, took Jack the Quack's advice, hired Nick Caserio, and that was it. Now, it's weird because Nick Caserio might end up being a very good GM. I mean, he's got a lot of respect built around the league, had been in New England for a long time, and I think there's people that really believe that Caserio was due for his own GM job. But the way that it went down and why it went down poisoned the water for Deshaun Watson. And I'll bring this up again. Andre Johnson was the first great Houston Texan. One day, he's probably going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Andre Johnson never had a crossword about anybody. Andre Johnson was low-key. Low-key. Didn't get into it with people through the media. Didn't call anybody out like his coaching staff or his quarterback or his owner or anything like that. Never demanded a trade. Andre Johnson, yes, at the end of his career, had some friction with Bill O'Brien, but the way that he handled his business was almost always under the radar and with class. And the people that got to know Andre behind the scenes would always say, that guy is all class. Andre Johnson, the type of guy that just cuts a check for all the kids in Houston to have supermarket sweeps at Christmas. Go through Toys R Us, pick out whatever you want, kids. It's on me. Because I didn't have a great Christmas growing up. I want you to have a great Christmas. That's the type of guy Andre Johnson is. And Andre Johnson, by the way, never tweets. Okay, he's had a Twitter account for years. The only thing he does, and probably it's his business manager or PR person or agent, is retweets his events or his TV appearances. That's the only thing his Twitter account's ever used for. Except one tweet in which he said, nothing good has happened since Jack Easterby has taken over the Texans. Oh, really? Huh. Now that's notable from Andre Johnson as the only tweet in 2 years. That's notable. This is all about Easterby. And if Cal McNair wants to save Deshaun Watson, he should do a very easy thing. I don't care if he is best buds with the team chaplain, wannabe GM. You can find another Jack the Quack. I know. I've seen his stand-up. You can't find another Deshaun Watson. So Cal McNair should go to Deshaun and say, Deshaun, we want you here. if I fire Jack Easterby, will you stay? And look, maybe Deshaun Watson says no. I don't know. Maybe enough water's under the bridge now where he says yes, but maybe it's like no. Nope. Doesn't matter. I see how this thing works, and I can't trust you. And I don't blame Deshaun Watson for that. The rats are fleeing the ship. The team president just suddenly resigns because he wants to do more speaking engagements. Okay, we had John McClain, Houston Chronicle, join us a couple weeks ago. He has covered the Texans since their inception and said that Jamie Rutz got frustrated with the decision-making at the top and said, I'm out of here. He was there since they were an expansion team. Saw Jack Easterby rise to the ranks and said, I'm out of here. So that's another guy that fled. J.J. Watt wants just a flat-out release, doesn't want to be around. He fled. Deshaun Watson wants out. He's trying to flee. The common theme here is that nobody trusts Jack the Quack. So there's only one solution here if you want to save Deshaun Watson, and that's fire Jack Easterby. But that might not even be enough. That might not be enough. I think the Texans are going to try to play hardball. I don't think they're going to try to trade him before the draft. I think they're going to try to see out the standoff up until the summer and into the season. And that's maybe where we'll finally get some clarity. But I don't think he's going to get traded before next month's draft. I say next month as though it's almost already March, but April's draft. I don't think he's going to get traded before then because I think the Texans are going to try to play hardball with him. But boy, I mean, how broken must this relationship be when Deshaun Watson sits down with David Culley and says, look, sorry, man, it's not about you. It's about them. I can't play here anymore. It's about them. Then you've really set fire to the organization if your franchise QB won't even allow the discussion with his head coach to alter how he feels because he feels so burned by this whole thing. Cal McNair's being sold a bill of goods from Jack Easterby, and it's sad. It's sad. It's sad how some people can be just mentally and emotionally manipulated, which is what is happening. Cal McNair's being manipulated by Jack Easterby and doesn't see it. Doesn't realize it. And everybody else does. And everybody else is telling him what is happening, and he can't see it. You think I banged the drum on firing Jack Easterby? You should hear what happens at Houston. I mean, every single day, every caller to Sports Talk Radio says, fire Jack Easterby. They want to have a protest outside the Texans' offices to fire Jack Easterby, fans do. You should read some Reddit boards for Texans fans. All it is fire Jack Easterby. He knows. Cal McNair knows. He can't be that sheltered. He knows. He knows everybody in town hates Easterby's guts. And we played a stand-up here. Oh, God, is it bad. Yeah, the team chaplain, wannabe stand-up, you know, thinks he's Chris Rock.
Let me tell you about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson.
Easterby's so bad. Awful. Total chump. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. I feel for Mraz. He's been out for the last week, and so he sees today's target demo graphic made by the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, and is completely in the dark, doesn't know, doesn't get the references. How does that feel?
It is very hurtful. It feels like I just showed up to a party and everybody's ready to leave and I have a fresh 12-pack here and it stinks. I see a fat guy with bears. I don't know what's going on here.
You know, do you remember back in school if you like took a week off for vacation, but it wasn't like winter break or summer vacation or something, and you would come back and all your friends would have their own jokes and they would have all these references that you don't get. And you're like, oh man, what did I miss? I wish I got that joke.
Yeah.
That's what it must feel like for you.
Yeah. And it doesn't make any sense. I was gone 1 week. And I felt like I kept decent enough tabs on the show. I couldn't obviously listen all 4 hours every day, but I felt like, you know, whether it was via Twitter or a segment here or there, I kind of had an idea what was going on. But then I get blindsided with this Target demo meme, and I have absolutely zero clue. And I even came back today. I didn't even take the full week to the weekend. I'm back today, and I still don't know what's going on.
Well, I have to say, this must be how some of our listeners feel. Like, if you're not listening every single day, you just don't get the joke the next day. And if you miss an entire week, forget it. What are you seeing from the Target demo meme? How would you interpret this?
Well, I'm seeing Cap using the famous face of me with the eyebrows that he's put a Bucks mask over, and it's me walking through an airport, which I guess I did. So, okay, that was Tampa. I'm seeing I thought it was Andy Gresh with a wizard hat on, sitting on in an outhouse. It's some fat guy there with the Target thing on him and a gas mask, which I don't know if we're going back to the draft day stuff. And there's two bears howling, and then some nice wooded area. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, so I think you with the Buccaneers mask with the roll away through an airport, that might be Ted Cruz. I'm not sure.
With the Cancun trip, we escaped in the ice storm.
But I think it's just you returning home from this trip. What is behind you in the wooded area, that's Bogish. That's Bogish with his Wizard of Watch DA wizard hat on.
I'm Andrew Bogish.
That's the wizard. That's the graphic that we use for Bogish on the updates.
Oh, okay. Wow, he gained some weight since I've been gone, I see.
And he is sitting in an outhouse he's holding a Target with an arrow, and that's because Stunned to a News yesterday was in Alaska. A woman went to an outhouse in Alaska to use, of course, the latrine, and she got bit on the bottom dollar by a bear. There was a bear living in or got into the outhouse and came up from the bottom of the toilet and either scratched her rump or bit her rump, and it became a whole thing, and we were saying what type of nightmare fuel that would be, how terrifying it would be if your bare bottom got bit by a bear
poo-poo butt
in an outhouse.
Well, it would scar me from ever wanting to go to the bathroom again.
Right.
Now, an outhouse, is that more – I haven't used one. Is that more porta potty? Because I can't imagine a bear being like a snake and fitting through some plumbing. Right? No, are they just like sitting in some kind of cesspool underneath and he comes up for air and bites you in the bum bum?
Yeah, so a port-a-john obviously is sealed on all sides, and so a bear couldn't fit in there. But an outhouse is a little larger, and an outhouse is kind of like wooden, and I think what they thought was the bear might have dug a hole underneath or gone through a hole or something underneath the back and was in the doo-doo area. And was maybe down there, became a doo-doo cake bear.
Oh, and that's a Teddy Graham.
And was waiting underneath and was upset that somebody was trying to do business on top of their heads.
How bad was the bite? Not to rehash. Like,
well,
was there bloodshed?
There was blood, but it couldn't have been that bad of a bite because it didn't take a chunk of flesh out of it. So it was either a nip by the bear, like an annoyance nip, or a scratch. I think it could have been a scratch to a big bear paw.
Okay. All right. Boy, bear's a butt guy, huh?
Baby got back.
All right, bear, so that's where we're at.
Bear mix a lot. Flat buttocks.
Boy, it brings new meaning to bare ass, huh?
Yeah, so that's the reference on Twitter at DA on CBS or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Leave your commentary there for Target Demo Friday. David tweets in, yuck, suck ass show. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
Yuck. Right.
Diarrhea.
Maybe you've never seen Lisa Ramos. Yuck. This is a P.U. This show stinks.
Yeah.
P.U. Whereas when you see these Russell Wilson rumors, stories, all about how he wants out in Seattle. Do you think that the Seahawks absolutely have to trade Russ now?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Number one, if you ever it get that bad where you have to make a decision between franchise quarterback with plenty of years left, seemingly in a very good to great career, or a 70-year-old head coach, I think it's pretty easy to determine what the problem would be and who you would keep. So I don't think there's any way you get Russell Wilson. If it got that bad, you get rid of Pete Carroll. Secondly, and I think it was Bogus might have mentioned this earlier, or it might have been Rappaport in the cold open, the $40 million cap hit upon trading him you'd have to absorb would completely cripple you financially, and we're still trying to figure out exactly where the salary cap is, too. My big fear, I think, with all of this, when you see the Russell Wilson story come out, and obviously everything that's happened with Sean Watson, and it seems very warranted when you see what's happened to J.J. Watt, and as you mentioned, Andre Johnson talk about it. But everybody, all these peers seeing what happened with Tom Brady when he left Bill Belichick and how successful he was in recruiting Gronk and Antonio Brown and going to win a Super Bowl, I just really hope that this isn't the tea leaves in the beginning of the NFL becoming, you know, basically allowing the players to run themselves the way the NBA seemingly has and jump from team to team and form whatever they can. I think the salary cap restrictions are a little different, and hopefully it'll prevent that. But, man, I just hope that Russell Wilson doesn't see what's happening with Watson, didn't see what happened with Brady, and is basically going public with a lot of this now, trying to, I guess, get his, if you will. Just, it's worked in Seattle, Russ. You've gone to two Super Bowls. If Pete Carroll's got to go, if it got that bad, that's one thing. Don't force your way out.
Yeah, I think you're right about that guaranteed money and the cap hit. If they trade him, if he's not on the roster, it's a monster cap hit. So why would the Seahawks want to do that? Doesn't seem to make any sense. I think Russell Wilson is trying to make noise so that he gets more control over, say, in who they draft, who they sign, etc. This is why he's doing it now, because it's ahead of free agency and ahead of the draft. But do I see him getting moved this year, this offseason? No. To your point of the Tom Brady thing, it's so misplaced. It is so misplaced for all of these guys to want the Tom Brady, you know, that deal. Why? Brady never had that deal in New England. It took him 20 years, yep. 6 Super Bowl championships, 9 Super Bowl appearances, being crowned the greatest of all time before he ever got that control. And he only got that control in Tampa Bay because the Buccaneers were willing to bend over backwards to go from 7-9 to win a Super Bowl. And even the Buccaneers, Bruce Arians and Jason Light, said his control over things is overblown. It looks like Tom Brady has control because he brought in Gronk and brought in AB. That's what it looks like. It's two guys that were relatively cheap. It's two guys. He didn't draft Mike Evans. He didn't draft Chris Godwin. He didn't do any of that. Gronk is his best buddy. Gronk was retired, and Gronk just didn't want to play for the Patriots anymore. But we had Camille Kostick, his girlfriend, on 2 weeks ago. She said he always wanted to come back to play football. He was just waiting for the right situation. So Brady made the right call because he knew Gronk. And AB, they didn't even need Antonio Brown to win the Super Bowl. They could have won it without AB. Okay, so Brady got his way on AB. But that's not building a roster. And right. Also, Tom Brady had a running game. He had Jones. He had Fournette. They knew they had to be able to also establish the run. Brady was very understanding of that. The fact that Russell Wilson is bucking against running the football in Seattle, I mean, how many times does he have to throw for him to think that they're throwing enough?
Right.
Okay, you want a little bit more of a control over the ratio of pass to run. That's fine. But don't act like Tom Brady's out there throwing 70 times a game. You want the Tom Brady treatment. You haven't earned it. He doesn't have that much control over what happened. He had two saves. And he doesn't throw more than Russell Wilson does. I mean, it's just like Russell Wilson, that's the part that's so delusional to me about what he wants out of this.
And Russell Wilson can have all that say in the offense all he wants. Is his defense going to be good enough to hold Patrick Mahomes to 9 points in a Super Bowl, too?
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's also a lot of factors that go into this.
Yeah, And Tom Brady also didn't turn the football over 7 times in 2 weeks. Like, Pete Carroll saw that and said, hey, Russ, you want to be throwing this much, but if you throw 4 interceptions in a game, that's not helping us. Tom Brady doesn't do that. So Russ wants the control and the respect that Brady has, but he's not as good as Tom Brady. And yeah, this Deshaun Watson wants out of Houston, and Aaron Rodgers, you know, wants more control over the say of things, and now we have the Russell Wilson thing. That feels like you don't want the NFL to turn into that, where every quarterback, if he doesn't get his way, just wants out. But all of these guys have to recognize, you're not Tom Brady. You're not. You don't get that. Brady got that after even in year 19 in New England, he didn't have that. So stop saying, I want the Tom Brady thing. Like, okay, go win 6 Super Bowls, and then in year 20 of your career, we'll give that to you. Until then, shut up. I mean, come on. All right, standing by with your headlines is Andrew Bogish this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
Good morning, guys. We begin right there. It appears to be unlikely the Seahawks actually do trade Russell Wilson, but that speculation ain't going anywhere anytime soon. Wilson's agent, Mark Rogers, said yesterday they have not demanded a trade, but if one becomes necessary, they'd like to go to Dallas, New Orleans, Vegas, or Chicago. Wilson does have a full no-trade clause, and there is that issue of $39 million in dead space on their cap if they were to trade him. Deshaun Watson reportedly met last Friday with new Texans head coach David Culley and said again he wants to be traded. Houston is apparently not answering the phone right now if you call about their quarterback. Another game,
what if you text
another
them,
win.
Bogus? Will they answer a text?
I don't think there are no forms of communication, no DMs, no IMs, no nothing. Maybe if you go and knock on their door, they'd have to be courteous enough to listen to you, but maybe that's the only thing that would work.
You're getting the DJ Tommy D treatment. Sorry, we're not answering the phone call, bud.
Yeah, Pete's also on their switchboard. Once he's done with us, he goes down to Houston. Another game, another win for the Brooklyn Nets, 129-92 over the Magic last night. That's 8 in a row for Steve Nash's team.
A big part of it is our group's bonding. You know, they're growing together. They're starting to feel success, and roles are, you know, showing up. And you can sense it out there that they're having more fun, that they're connected offensively and defensively, that they have a lot more poise together.
8 games is their longest win streak since moving to Brooklyn. It's a 4-game run for the Bucks after a 129-125 victory over the Pelicans. Giannis scored 38. The Sixers took care of the Mavs, 111-97. The Clippers losing in Memphis, 122-94. The Knicks hammered the Kings, 140-121. And the Wizards escaped Denver, 112-110. Washington has won 6 of 7. T-Wolves guard Malik Beasley suspended 12 games without pay after pleading guilty to threatening people outside his house with a gun. Police eventually found more guns and drugs inside the house. Beasley's plea deal got rid of a drug charge. He'll lose $1.1 million in salary because of this. College Hoops, number 1 Gonzaga stayed perfect, 89-75 over Santa Clara. The Zags have now won 50 consecutive home games. Wow. Third-ranked Michigan down number 9 Iowa, 79-57. Fourth-ranked Ohio State losing at Michigan State, 71-67. And number 12 Houston roughed up Western Kentucky, 81-57. Tiger Woods has been transferred, probably on Wednesday night, to Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. And on ice last night, Chicago blanked Columbus 2-0. The Sens took down the Flames 6-1, and the Islanders dumped the Bruins 7-2. Boston has 4 regulation losses this season, 3 of them to those Islanders.
Really?
And one last time this week, wow, we're stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, let me welcome Sean back from vacation with a stunned suggested by his good buddy, the man you just mentioned, DJ Tommy D, sent this one in today.
Okay.
He takes us down under for something like a follow-up to that Texas woman who tackled a would-be peeping Tom outside her home recently. This time, we have a woman described as a grandmother, but there's no age of her in the story. But so let's assume She's on the older side of the spectrum. A man snatched her purse off her table at a bar and took off. Wow. They then proceeded to have a fairly slow motion chase. This wasn't Don Beebe running down Leon Lett. It was more like one Leon running down another Leon Lett. Grandma did get the guy down from behind, dragged him to the asphalt. They wrestled a bit. He lost his shirt, which almost got him free of her. She got her purse back and then actually threw his flip-flop at him, which I think explains the slow chase, as he was getting in his truck to drive away. He was eventually tracked down and arrested. She, by the way, on top of getting her purse back, was left with broken ribs and cuts and bruises from the open field tackle on this guy. So she paid the price to get her purse back, but she got her purse back.
So while the Texas mom definitely was a solid form tackle, no penalty on the play, the grandma, it's a horse collar. She comes up from behind. She grabs the back of his neck and yanks him down. It is a horse collar tackle, but she tackles the ball carrier, gets him down, prevents the touchdown, and that's big. And the best part about this is she catches him from behind, swings him down. He tries to get back up, and she holds on to his shirt, and he can't get away. And so they are then wrestling, as you said, for the purse, and she gets the purse. So she wins the dog pile. The ball is loose underneath the pile, and she is the one that comes up with it. This is a huge win. I love the mom in Texas, and I love the grandma in Australia that did this. She's also in flip-flops, right? Or he's in flip-flops, and she's in some type of sandals or something. Like, neither one of them has great running shoes on, so a grandma with sandals chases down her would-be thief, wrestles away the purse, and drags him to the ground. That guy should be humiliated and embarrassed forever. Grandma wins the challenge.
Yeah, and also terrible target, if you ask me. Yes, she might not be able to catch you if that's what you're thinking. But what are you hoping to get out of that purse? Some old Werther's Originals and maybe the checkbook she uses at the supermarket? What amount of cash does he think a grandmother is going to have in that purse that is worth the chase down or worth any kind of penalty in snatching said purse? The purse itself might be worth more than anything in the purse.
Well, maybe there's just not a lot of loose purses anymore hanging around at bars. And so when you see one, you got to take advantage of it.
But there's nothing in there. We've got basically plastic here at this point, too. I can't imagine whatever the Australian currency has. Maybe it's kangaroo nickels. I don't know. I can't imagine. There's a ton of them in her purse.
Okay, so what would
you also
be...
need to...
Go ahead, AB.
Well, I was going to say, you also need to do a self-evaluation. If you're about to steal the purse, you got to look down and go, I'm wearing flip-flops. My escape's going to be an issue here. So maybe I should go switch into some sneakers or just wait till next time when I have the proper footwear on to be a thief.
This grandma is sitting on the pavement. She has her purse, and she ends up with his flip-flop in her hand and just tosses it at him. Like, here you go, you slug. Take your flip-flop back, you pathetic piece of garbage. I got my purse. Like, it's so dismissive. But, Mraz, what is your target then going to be? Who are you going to look to target for a pickpocket?
Well, I think it's got to be somebody you think with stable income that might be at the bar spending cash. I'm looking for anybody of any gender between, I would say, the ages of 30 to 50. I think that's a good wheelhouse to assume, all right, maybe they're out. They probably at this point have established enough income that they maybe are going to spend a little cash at a bar. Maybe somebody not with their significant other because they don't want the debit charges being shown on their bank account. Uh-huh. You have to really think in depth. I think when you're going older person there, I mean, a couple singles, maybe write out the thing in a check. As I said, a lot of hard candies.
Kangaroo
like
nickels.
Yeah, I just think it's a bad target. It's an easy target in essence that you think you'll get away. It's a bad target for what you will get out of the purse.
There's also three different times this guy gets humiliated. Number one, he gets chased down by a grandma from behind. Okay, so he's very bad in the open field. Number two, she's strong enough to A, pull him to the ground, and B, win the tussle. He's not even strong enough to win pulling the purse away. So she wins the strength competition. And then three, she tosses the flip-flop in his direction. You've lost the foot race, you've lost the purse, and she's like, and take your flip-flop back as well, punk. I mean, right. That guy, 0 for 3.
he basically the grandma became Antoine Winfield taunting Tyreek Hill in the Super Bowl.
she put up the peace sign right in his face. And then she backflipped like Tyreek Hill back into the bar. She was once upon a time a college schoolmate of Mraz. Between her Twitter and her Instagram feed, she has nearly 500,000 followers, and she is a newly minted member of Bill's Mafia. Joining us this morning on the show is our friend Lisa Ramos, who you could watch on the simulcast as Lisa joins us on camera on both Twitch at CBS Sports Radio's channel there and on watchda.com on the simulcast. Lisa, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. It's so good to see you. It's been a very long time.
I know. It's been a long time. And you've been around for just a crazy ride in Buffalo as your boyfriend plays for the Bills. And so you've
fiance?
You guys are engaged? Oh, congratulations. Yes. I didn't even realize that.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, congratulations. How did he pop the question?
It was really nice. He had my family come to Classic Car Club in Manhattan on the water, and they all got into like these cool classic cars, and I didn't know they were in there, and he had like a huge screen. It was like a drive-in theme. I didn't know my family was there, and after this montage ended, everyone came out, popped the question. It was really nice.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, congratulations. That's great to hear. So what a cool year. You get the proposal, you get the engagement, and you get a run to the AFC Championship game, and you got to see firsthand what that city was like when the Bills became good again. What was that experience like this season?
Oh, wow, it was incredible. I mean, there is no fan base like Bills Mafia. I am completely convinced. They are all in for their team. Everywhere we go, they show so much love to my fiance or just me in general. Like, everyone here is awesome, and they're so enthusiastic and hype. And just, have you seen their tailgates?
Oh my gosh, they're epic. They're legendary.
Yes, they are. And they actually scare me because I don't want to get thrown through a table. Not that I don't think they would do that to me, but yeah, it's been really cool.
So the cool thing is that the Bills fan base is so supportive, and so they're like a big family. But without fans in attendance for so long this year, how hard was it for you not to be able to attend games and for the fans to be only able to watch it on TV?
It was sad because they were doing so well and we wanted to be there and have fun and show the support. And, you know, we obviously miss like all the good weather games like preseason and September, October. So it was hard, but all the partners, the wives, girlfriends, fiancés, we all got together most games and watched, and we made it as fun. We made the best of it.
Yeah, you documented hanging out with all of the other wives and girlfriends of the players. That seemed like you guys had a really good time. Seemed like you got a pretty close-knit friend group amongst all of them. How's that been?
Oh, it's amazing. I feel like I don't want to go to any other team because everyone here is just great. Like, the facility is awesome for the guys, and all the partners are amazing, and everyone's so nice, and the city loves us. So, yeah, I love it here.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Although, even though you're a New York girl, Buffalo is a different sense of weather up there. I mean, you guys got snow early, and it's never going to stop. So are you okay staying your entire career in Buffalo if it's going to snow in October?
You know what? It snowed in May, I think it was, during the start of the pandemic last year. I'm fine with it, especially during the pandemic. I actually love snow and Christmas, so no complaints here.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So it's worked out well for you, right?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Lisa Ramos joins us this morning here on the show. Now, on Instagram yesterday, you left us something to really chew on, literally and figuratively. Here is Lisa answering a question from one of her many, many followers.
Depends on my mood, but I either get a Big Mac or I get a Filet-O-Fish sandwich and a McChicken with cheese.
Somebody asks you what your McDonald's order is. You oftentimes post on social media that you're eating McDonald's. You will oftentimes post the bag and the fries, etc. So let's go back over that order again. What's your go-to order at Mickey D's?
Okay, so I rarely get like a meal. I like to get like an amalgamation of my favorite things, and then I just eat that. So I'll get a McChicken with cheese, which it doesn't come with cheese, so you have to request that. Okay. And I do a Filet-O-Fish, and if the spicy nuggets are in the menu, I'll do those, and maybe like a small fry.
So you will do all of that together or one or two of those things?
I'll do all of that together. Because if I don't eat it all at once, I can eat it later. So.
Okay, so you're a model, okay, mm-hmm. and you're an influencer, and you oftentimes are posing in some scantily clad wear. How are you working off? How are you working off a bag of McDonald's every single day? What's the workout plan?
I do home workouts. I do like band workouts, and that's pretty much it. I focus on lower body because I'm lazy and I don't do upper body, but that's pretty, and I sweat from that. So I think that could be it. I also drink a lot of water. So, you know, you do something terrible and then you do something good for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I remember a couple of years ago you wrote the book about eating pizza, and that you were all mm-hmm. about eating pizza, and you love eating pizza and what have you. And you were like, I don't even really work out. I just eat a lot of pizza. Have you started working out more than back then, or you just always have had amazing metabolism?
No, it's just been recently due to the pandemic that I've done the home workouts. My friends have encouraged me to get started, so I've done that. And, you know, my fiance has had to do preseason training from home. It might be the same this year, so I would just jump on the bandwagon and force myself to work out with him.
It's amazing. So you crush McDonald's, you eat pizza, you don't really care. Sometimes you work out, sometimes you don't, and you're still able to be a model. Pretty good. It's pretty good. Not everyone can see that. Now, your fiance is Christian Wade, and he is mm-hmm. kind of a running back / special teams player for the Bills.
Yes.
That's never a, you know, solidified position. You're always kind of fighting for your job. Is it nerve-wracking mm-hmm. for Christian to always be competing for playing time and snaps and getting on the field and remaining in the NFL?
To be honest, he's been a professional athlete for 10 years prior to this in Premiership Rugby in England. So he's really used to the pressure, and, I mean, he's a pro, so he doesn't let it get to him. There's always something at stake in the NFL. Like, he always comes home and is like, oh, did you know that so-and-so got cut? Man, I really liked him. So every day is like, could be your last day, but he just does his best. He works really hard.
How does he like the adjustment to American football from playing rugby for so many years? I mean, he was a star in the rugby world. How does he like playing American football?
He loves it. It's so funny because he really did not know much beyond the basics before we came here to Buffalo. So he's just a sponge, and he's soaking everything up and really enjoying the journey. So it's cool.
Now that things are opening up for the spring and the summer, more people be at games, be able to do more things, perhaps movies, museums, restaurants, bars, etc. What are you most looking forward to as some of the restrictions are lifted?
I just want to be able to go anywhere and not be paranoid. Like, I don't want to be hypervigilant about anything. Hopefully at some point next year, we won't have to wear masks. It would be great to do that because I wear makeup and it does get on my mask. But yeah, I'm an introvert, so I don't mind staying home that much. I'm just looking forward to less paranoia and less hypervigilance.
But you travel a lot for your job, and you've mm-hmm. always done these amazing international shoots. Have you not been able to do those over the last year?
No, I haven't really. I worked a bit in the summer, and everything's been really slow because no one knows how to navigate or what the proper protocols are for shoots and stuff. So I've done a lot of work from home, and a lot of clients are actually shooting, letting models shoot from home, and then we submit the images. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy. Like, your whole life has been turned upside down as a traveler and a model. You know, you just, like a lot of people, just haven't been able to do what you wanted to do. Is it ever kind of scary to watch your fiance play football up close and personal? Because I know when I'm at games and I'm on the sideline, or you guys have great seats on the 50-yard line, you see the speed of it and the collisions of it so much more than on TV. Can it be a little scary?
It's definitely nerve-wracking. When he first, in rugby or football, I'm just an anxious mess. I remember one time when I first started going to his rugby games, he got, you know, they wear absolutely no padding, no nothing, no helmet. And he got, like, hit in the throat. And then I just saw him, like, grab his neck and, like, fall to the ground. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I look at his mom, and she's like, he's fine. And then I was like, okay, if you're not panicking, I won't panic. But it's definitely nerve-wracking.
I mean, how about watching somebody play rugby and there's no pads, there's no protection, and they are running at each other full steam? That's got to be crazy to see those types of collisions.
Oh, yeah, it is crazy. It does appear a bit it does look a little safer sometimes because of the rugby tackle and the technicalities of that and how specific that is, but it's definitely a real contact sport, and it's continuous. It's not stop, start, so the guys are out of breath. It requires endurance. It's a lot.
Give me a breakdown of Buffalo Wings. What do you think?
Oh, my gosh. They're so good here. There's so many places with Buffalo Wings. If you guys come here, I'll take you to, like, all the best places. I've had so many wings. It's crazy. I've even started making them at home. Like, it's just such a thing here.
Buffalo Wings are literally in Buffalo. Different. You think that they're just, oh, everything's a buffalo wing. No, no, no. A buffalo wing in Buffalo is just different. I don't know what it is. Maybe a little crispier. Maybe the sauce is a little tangier. It just tastes different than getting a buffalo wing anywhere else, right?
Yeah, the buffalo wing originated here at Anchor Bar. That's why they're called buffalo wings, because this thing started here. So this is the hub of buffalo wings. Apparently, the hamburger started here, too, in Hamburg. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I heard.
How many buffalo wings can you eat?
It depends. Maybe I can eat like 10. I don't eat that many of them because I don't just eat buffalo wings for a meal. I mix other things in.
You're a big baseball fan, a big Mets fan. Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to the season?
Yeah, I really am. I'm really hoping to get to a baseball game this season. I don't know how plausible that is, but the Blue Jays were in Buffalo all last season, and I wanted to go there for any time they played a New York team, but there were no fans allowed. So hopefully this year, I always have high hopes for the Mets.
And you always like going out to the ballpark and just having a hot dog, having a beer, and sitting back and watching the ball game, right?
Yeah, I love it. I love beer and hot. I just love the whole event. Beer, hot dogs, peanuts, cotton candy. It's amazing. So fun.
On social media, you had posted a specific kind of hot dog, and I said, boy, I want to try that hot dog. It was so crazy. It was like you had potato chips in there, I think. What was that hot dog?
It's called a Colombian hot dog, originated in Colombia, I guess, and it's got pineapple, pink sauce, which is a mixture of mayonnaise and ketchup, crushed chips, and you can add hot sauce if you want. And the Colombians, they put quail eggs on it. I always 86 the quail eggs, but it's a really good hot dog. You should try it.
Quail eggs? You put quail eggs on a hot dog with potato chips and mayo and ketchup? That seems like the quail eggs would get lost in the taste.
I know
there.
It sounds like a crazy combination, but you have to try it. Don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock it because I like all of those things individually, and it looked really good on your Instagram. I was like, yeah, I could probably get into that Colombian hot dog. That sounds pretty good. So you are working with one of your sponsors and companies, and you are trying to bring awareness to equality. Racial equality is something you've been very open about on social media over the last couple of months and the last year or so. And so you're trying to get 10,000 people to volunteer to help out the cause by the end of this month. How can our listeners check out more about this, and what is the cause behind this exactly?
So I'm now an ambassador for Good Era's 10K for Equality project, and we're trying to get 10,000 virtual volunteers to go on the website, which is 10k.goodera.com, and sign up for virtual volunteer opportunities that impact racial equality. So yeah, we're trying to round up as many people as we can, and no amount of time is too small or insignificant. There are so many different kinds of opportunities. You can read a children's book to camera, which will be shown to children of color with characters of color in the storyline. You can mentor teenagers. You can mentor small business owners. It depends on your expertise, but there's a lot of different opportunities.
So you don't have to be a professional in any field or have some type of extensive experience. It could be as simple as reading a book on camera and over Zoom or something like that for kids, and you can participate in this, huh?
Right, yeah, it's super easy, and it's very impactful. It makes a big difference. I know it's really hard. Sometimes you're like, oh, everything that's happening is so crazy. I wish I could do something. Well, this is like an organized initiative that gives you plenty of options to get everything done, and they walk you through every step of the process and send you links that provide you with materials. So I encourage everyone to please go sign up. Link is in my bio on Instagram.
All right, very cool. And so if they should they just go to our listeners, just go to your bio on Instagram, and that's where the link for the sign up is for Good Era?
Yes, that's where it is. And you just sign up with your email and you can get started right away.
Okay, cool. So on Instagram, Lisa A. Ramos. Easy enough. Lisa A. Ramos. Be one of the more than 350,000 followers on Instagram. You know, I always enjoy touching base with you because, you know, you always say your DMs are crazy and your comments are crazy and you do Q&As all the time. Has it gotten more crazy since you've now also entered, like, the football sphere? So now football fans are all about you?
Yes. Yeah, it's gotten crazier. I didn't think it could, but I think the pandemic maybe let people, I don't know, allowed people to be online more. So it has gotten a little crazier, just especially just people have weird requests all the time. Like, send me a picture of your feet. A bunch of, like, weird stuff in there.
What other requests are you getting?
It's never from women, of course. It's just like, oh, could you punch me in the face? Or just like weird.
Wait, could you punch me in the face?
Yeah. I was like, you know what? Next time I'm going to be like, you know what? Yes, I can punch you in the face.
Oh, that's a bizarre one. Can you punch me in the face? Well,
yeah.
Better to eat Colombian hot dogs, I would say.
Yes.
All right, go to Lisa A. Ramos at Instagram. Lisa A. Ramos, that's her Instagram handle. In her bio is the link for the 10K challenge, trying to get 10,000 volunteers with Good Era to help support racial equality, something we could all obviously support and get behind. Lisa, it's always awesome to catch up. It's been so long, but thanks for finding time for us this morning. Let's do this again as the summer comes around and things open up a little bit, and we'll do this again here on the show.
Absolutely. I'm so excited for the summer.
Yep. Us too. Thanks, Lisa.
Bye, guys. Have a good day.
Okay. You got it. You too. Lisa Ramos joining us this morning here on the show. And
it's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target demo are up to.
All right. Let's read through our tweets and our Facebook messages. Carla on Twitter listening on KTIK 93.1 in Boise. On my way to school, it's Friday. Hashtag, if you're not making tacos, hashtag, beam me up.
If you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more.
Aaron tweets, I'm listening on SiriusXM on my phone while installing a new floor in the kitchen. Welcome back, Mraz. Hashtag, Target Demo Friday.
Good burgers.
Good. Handy Manny tweets, good morning, D-Aliens. I'm listening on the radio.com app, rolling through North Texas on the highway, making that money. Welcome back, Mraz. Hashtag Duty Critter Wars. Hashtag Cabana Man.
It's really kind of like the Bizarro episode of Seinfeld.
Cabana Man being the alter ego of Connor Green, a superhero. He doesn't want to be Cabana Boy. He wants to be a Cabana Man. Mike in Greenville, PA, listening on 96.7 on his way to work. Bears aren't a nightmare unless Russell Wilson somehow joins them. I love the show. Really entertaining. I appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend. Target Demo Friday. Mac and Bear, good morning, DA and crew. Today is my Thursday. Got to work tomorrow. Listening on that radio.com app. Driving in four states today. The Bear story was awesome. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Beam me up.
No, never mind. I don't want to talk about it.
Jim is listening to the show in the car because everyone in his family is COVID positive except for him. Jim, stay safe and stay away from your family. Jeffrey's in Philly listening on SiriusXM 206 on his way to therapy. He's got a bad shoulder. After hearing yesterday's bear story, I check the toilet before I do my business now. Hashtag the bear essentials.
Have fun with your marriage.
Bears have long tails, right? Brett is listening in Boise on the radio.com app at work. Today's my son Dallas's 9th birthday. Could I get you guys to beam him up for me? Happy birthday, little D. Hashtag where has the time gone? Happy birthday, Dallas. Number 9. Very cool. Next year, as my Uncle Johnny once told me, boy, getting old, double digits when I hit 10. Last time you'll be single digits here, Dallas. Dilbo is listening while delivering mail in sunny Buffalo, New York. Can I get a beam up? Hashtag good burgers.
Good burgers.
Dilbo. Jack is in Providence, urgent care, listening on the game, KTMT 96.1, love the show, going to start early, two of the best sports movies, North Dallas 40 and Buffalo 66. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
Puffiness with sodium.
Peeps with salsa.
Weed and beer?
Wow. That escalated quickly. Thomas is listening on Sirius XM 206 in Seabrook, Texas, where the outhouses have finally thawed out. Thanks for the blast from the past, a reminder when SNL was funny. Target Demo Friday.
The cream will rise to the crop.
That's a good one. Jerry is alive and kicking on Facebook in South Carolina, Sirius XM 206. Bacon, eggs, and grits, along with the DA show, the best sports show around. That sounds delicious, Jerry. Target Demo Friday.
Is mayo dairy?
Ed is in PA and listening on Sirius XM 206. It's only been about 3 weeks, but I really miss football. I wish the Alliance or the XFL was still around. Target Demo Friday. What do fools believe? Don't we all? And finally, Edwards on Facebook. It's me again, still out here in PNW. We know all about outhouses and bears. Hope Mraz had a safe and healthy trip. Good to hear you guys on the air. Keep up the great work here, guys. Hashtag beam me up. Hashtag girlfriend. Hashtag if you ain't making tacos, I don't love you no more.
If you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more.
If you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more.
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
What a great week this was here on the show. Had so much fun. Had so many great guests. Some off-the-wall guests, like the guy that was a clubhouse attendant for 2 years in the Aberdeen Ironbirds organization. We had great insight this week as well. Former NFL executive Randy Mueller joined us talking about the potential quarterback trades, the Carson Wentz deal that went down. Lisa Ramos this morning was phenomenal, talking about being part of the Bills Mafia as her fiance plays for the Bills. We had great insight from Chicago as well with Layla Rahimi talking about the Bears and the quarterback and the Allen Robinson situation. Kaufman slicing and dicing the Celtics this week as well. Molly Arbogast of the future of sports with the pandemic. We had Connor Green, a Green Party, talking about being kidnapped or faking your own kidnapping this week to get away from work. We had a good week's worth of shows. Mraz is back after his Florida vacation as well. So we are alive and kicking as well going into Monday, which is March the 1st. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. Schwartz tweeted that he went to a grocery store and asked about where the ringdings were. And the grocery store employee brought him to the green beans, mistakenly thinking he said green beans through that mask. And Mraz, is it possible that perhaps the grocery store employee was subconsciously trying to get Pete to eat healthier?
Well, that's one of the ideas on the table here, because there's only a couple of things that could have happened. Either the grocery store worker looked at Pete and said, I'm going to use this as an excuse to take him where he should be shopping and where he should be looking. And if not, I don't understand still to this point how somebody of Pete's stature, somebody of Pete's size, and somebody of Pete's age can seemingly go to a grocery store searching for ringdings and get to the point where you had to ask where they were. And also, does that just speak to Pete not willing to walk the aisles and just wants to not only consume ringdings, but take the laziest beeline to said ringdings instead of making a couple S's through the aisles? There are so many options on the table for what went wrong in that situation.
Yeah, they don't hide the ringdings, okay? They put the ringdings where the other crummy food is. We know where the ringdings are. They're with all the baby cakes and Entenmann's and donuts and everything like that. That's right. Where the ringdings are.
Right. Remember the Devil Dogs and Twinkies? Look at the shelf underneath. You'll find them. They're there.
Hey, what'd you think about Lisa Ramos's McDonald's order? She goes a McChicken but adds cheese going off menu.
So I think it's one of my favorite off menu items that exist in the fast food universe. You know, we always talk about the animal style at In-N-Out, the famous chicken quesadilla. Not many people know about a Chipotle, but I think the McChicken and adding cheese is one of the greats out there as well. And I think her point, which was that I don't consume all of my McDonald's order at once. The McChicken with cheese, I actually find to refrigerate really well. You know how some fast food might get a little soggy, might not taste right the next day? The McChicken with cheese, I think it's something with the cheese McDonald's uses where it kind of engulfs and encapsulates and bubbles over that McChicken patty. You put it in the fridge, has a little bit of lettuce mayo with that bun. It is one of the better refrigerated items to eat a couple hours later. You can eat it cold. You don't even have to re-microwave it, re-air fry it, anything. The McChicken with cheese is one of the great refrigerated fast food items to eat at a later time, I think, in the history of fast food.
And kind of like Mike Holmgren taking a page out of Bill Walsh's playbook once upon a time, Lisa Ramos taking a page out of Bob the Deli Man's playbook by ordering more McDonald's than she needs and refrigerating it for later use.
Oh, I could guarantee probably, and I haven't been to my parents, actually, I have to stay away a little bit here quarantining. If you were to have somebody at my parents open the fridge today, there is probably a McChicken and cheese with there. And it might be from Monday or Tuesday, and you can eat that thing. It tastes real fresh real quick.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. You know when you leave work or you go on vacation and you come back to your friend group and they have all of those jokes and you don't get them all? Like if you ever went away for vacation at school and not everybody went away, like you were the only one on vacation, you come back and your friends have all these jokes. That happened to Mraz. We were working. He was on vacation, so he didn't get the meme today. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
What are you seeing from the Target Demo meme? How would you interpret this?
Well, I'm seeing Cap using the famous face of me with the eyebrows that he's put a Bucks mask over, and it's me walking through an airport. I'm seeing I thought it was Andy Gresh with a wizard hat on.
Poo-poo button.
Sitting on in an outhouse. It's some fat guy there with the Target thing on him and a gas mask, which I don't know if we're going back to the draft day stuff. And there's two bears howling and then some nice wooded area. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, so I think you with the Buccaneers mask with the roll away through an airport. That might be Ted Cruz. I'm not sure.
Oh, but with the Cancun trip? Escaping the ice storm?
But I think it's just you returning home from this trip. What is behind you in the wooded area, that's Bogish. That's Bogish with his Wizard of Watch DA wizard hat on.
I'm Andrew Bogish.
That's the wizard. That's the graphic that we use for Bogish on the updates.
Oh, okay. Wow, he gained some weight since I've been gone, I see.
I do love kielbasa.
And he is sitting in an outhouse he's holding a Target with an arrow, and that's because stunned to a news yesterday was in Alaska. A woman went to an outhouse in Alaska to use, of course, the latrine, and she got bit on the bottom dollar by a bear.
For the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities, forget them.
There was a bear living in or got into the outhouse and came up from the bottom of the toilet and either scratched her rump or bit her rump and was in the doo-doo area and was maybe down there.
And you prick a raw paw. Well, next time, beware.
Became a doo-doo cake bear.
Oh, and that's a Teddy Graham.
And was waiting underneath and was upset that somebody was trying to do business on top of their heads.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Before we wrap up this week, happy belated birthday. Yesterday was AB's birthday. We wished him a happy birthday yesterday. AB, how was Primanti Brothers' mail sandwich?
I mean, amazing. If the being there is 195 through the mail, it's tremendous.
All right. Awesome. Looked great on Instagram. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Sean Mraz, your executive producer. Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.